Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck, and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. Today we go for a walk in a uniquely Danish version of what you might recognise as an allotment. The so-called colony haver are dotted with small summer houses, skirted with high hedges, and each plot has their very own flagpole too. Well, our guide today is Monocle's Copenhagen correspondent, Michael Booth.
It's kolonihaver season in Copenhagen and in the rest of Denmark's cities and towns. What's a kolonihaver? It literally means colony garden. They started in the late 19th century after the Industrial Revolution eventually arrived in Denmark, but really took off in the 1950s and 60s. Think of them as a cross between an allotment and a summer house, and you kind of have it. These are places where, traditionally, the working classes who lived in tenement apartments without any gardens or balconies or roof terraces or anything like that went for their relaxation, to get a bit of sun, perhaps grow some flowers and vegetables, but more often just to sit with friends and family in their own little private garden and have a beer and cook some food. That's pretty much still the case. If you're wealthy enough, you maybe buy a summer house up the coast or something in a forest in Sweden. If you're a hipster, you might perhaps get a full-on allotment or nutterhaver, as they're called, where you can grow your own organic kale. But the good old kolonihaver have endured, and in fact, they're attracting younger, more diverse owners these days. They're in quite some demand, with waiting lists running to years, and that demand has only increased with the recent pandemic, which has of course been especially tough on apartment dwellers. Some of the best located kolonihaver houses fetch upwards of 2 million kroner, that's £250,000. Like costume designer Sina Silens' house. I met her at her gorgeous black wooden house, originally built in 1937, beside the moat at Kastrup Fort, quite close to Copenhagen Airport. She lives in her kolonihaver house all summer, and said to me that when she's there, the blood pressure drops, the shoulders drop. It makes city life bearable. You don't have to go far to find a kolonihaver, but you might not notice them. If you've ever ventured beyond the cobblestones and spires of Copenhagen city centre, you may have spotted some high hedges, usually close to industrial zones or by playing fields. If, above the hedges, you saw dozens of flagpoles sticking up, then a kolonihaver almost certainly lay within, because it seems to be an unwritten rule that though each kolonihaver plot is usually only a couple of hundred metres squared, and the houses are usually not much more than sheds with windows and a deck, every single one will have a flagpole. This became slightly problematic a few years ago, since the rise of the right-wing Danske Folkeparti, or Danish People's Party. They're anti-Muslim, anti-immigration, you get the picture. The DF have kind of hijacked the Danes' beloved flag, they call it the Dannebrog, and in a way they've vicariously hijacked the kolonihaver a bit too. Because of this, there's some prejudice among the more middle-class cosmopolitan types in the city against kolonihaver folk. But Sina Silens, who I very much doubt is a Dansk Folkeparti voter, she travels all over the world designing costumes for actors like Hugh Grant, Nicole Kidman and Mads Mikkelsen. She told me things are changing. She said there's a much more diverse mix of people these days, and we all have to get to know each other because we're all so close together. It makes a real community. I knew that a friend of mine, the novelist Mikael Robak, was a big fan of kolonihaver, so I asked him what the appeal was. A kolonihaver and an apartment is the perfect combination for me, he said, not a little wistfully. He didn't have a kolonihaver at the moment, he said, but was on a waiting list for one. You get very tired very quickly of sitting in a park, realising you've forgotten the corkscrew, having to worry about the people around you, he said with a weary sigh. Mikael was clearly dreaming of the day he gets the keys to another little patch of paradise, just a cycle ride away.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. A thanks to Michael Booth for today's episode. Remember to tune in every Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck, goodbye, and thank you for listening, city lovers.